Good morning, friends. We have in these past few mornings been meditating and thinking through the Gospel through John. We were dealing with the fact that the great issue of John is this Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh? We found that the very key of the Gospel is in the fourth verse of the first chapter, in him is life. When you come to the 20th chapter, it says, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. By believing you might have life in his name. And the first 18 verses of the first chapter give to us who he is and what he is. And the whole rest of John, as it follows along, is just the proving of the statements in the first chapter. In the first four chapters, our Lord is dealing with individuals. In chapter 1, we went through of how we met with John the Baptist, and then you have Andrew and Peter, Philip, Nathanael, and so on. In chapter 2, we have his mother and his brethren, where our Lord manifested his omnipotence in changing water into wine. He manifested his authority in cleansing the temple and manifested his omniscience when he knew what was in man. Now, when we come to chapter 3, where we have Christ revealed as the Savior, you remember in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right, the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who are born of God. Now in chapter 3, he tells us how this is to be accomplished. A certain man, you remember in chapter 3, by the name of Nicodemus, came and asked to meet with the Savior. And he came to Jesus by night. And notice what he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles, these signs that thou doest, except God be with him. And when Nicodemus made that statement, he opened up himself to believe anything and everything that Jesus said. He had said to the Lord, I know that you're a teacher from God. No man can do these miracles that you do, unless God be with him. And the amazing answer of our Savior was, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can that be? How can a man be born again when he's old? He can't go back into his mother's womb and be born again. And the Lord's answer was, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then our Lord spoke of the fact, following that, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear it, you don't know where it's come from, you don't know where it's going. So is he that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, how in the world can these things be? And the Lord's answer was, are you a teacher? Are you a rabbi, a leader in Israel, and don't know these things? You ought to know them, Nicodemus. You're well versed in the Old Testament scripture. You know what Jeremiah and Ezekiel prophesied. The time would come when God would take out of them the stony heart and put in them a heart of flesh, when every one of them would know the Lord, and so on. He should have known this. And the Lord said, if I tell you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Then he went on to answer how to be born again. May I briefly suggest this to you? In the first three verses, we see the need of the new birth. I'm taking the time on this today because of its value. The need of the new birth. It's universal. And there are no substitutes. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In Galatians chapter 6:15, being a Jew nor a Gentile profits anything but a new creation. And man's condition demands that a man be born again. A man is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Job could say, can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean, not a one? Paul could write, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him. Paul could write to the Roman church and say, there is none righteous, no, not one. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. I say man's condition demands it. As dear old Jeremiah said, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? Neither can ye who are accustomed to do evil do good. And God's very holiness demands it. Indeed, Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. See, we were born wrong. And remember this, my friend, the removal of sin does not give you life. I can put a bullet in a man's brain and he's dead. What caused his death? The bullet. So I take a pair of forceps and I extract the bullet from the man's brain. I remove the cause of his death. Does that give him life? No, he's still dead. The removal of sin does not give you life. Can I repeat that? The removal of sin does not give you life. I repeat it over and over again. Life can only come through relationship. But you say, we're all children of God. Just a minute. Who said that? Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't say that. Well, isn't there a verse someplace in the scripture which says we're all the children of God? Yes, but why not finish the verse? That's Galatians chapter 3, about verse 27. We are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, you're born wrong. And remember, Nicodemus was a leader of Israel. He was a man who was well taught in the Old Testament scriptures. He was a rabbi. He was a teacher. He was a leader. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was one of the great religious leaders of Israel of his time. Jesus said, you're born wrong, unless you're born again. Religion doesn't do it. Being a moralist doesn't do it. Reforming your life will not do it. You see, friend, the book says you're dead in trespasses and sin, and what you'll need is life. Hence, I repeat the statement, the removal of sin does not give you life. You're born wrong. And your very condition demands a new birth. And the holy character of God demands a new birth. Now, what is the nature of the new birth? You must be a partaker of divine nature. In 2 Peter 1:4, Peter says that by these precious promises of God, we have been made partakers of the divine nature. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3, the apostle speaks of a new man, contrast to an old man. Indeed, Jesus in John 1:13, who are born not of blood nor of the will of the flesh, but are born of God. You see, we must be joined to him. This is the nature of it. Now, the method of it is in verses 4 to 13. The method of the new birth, except a man be born of water. Now, the word is born, not baptized, but born. Just like you have in 1 Peter 1:23, we're born of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. In James 1:18, of his own will begat he us by the word of truth. Born. Born of water could mean the word. Now, I'm going to prove that in a minute. But in Ephesians 5:26, I'm proving the fact that sometimes this question of water is referring to the word. For example, in Ephesians 5:26, we read that God is going to cleanse the church by the washing of water by the word. He loved the church. He gave himself for the church that he might cleanse the church by the washing of water by the word. In John 15:3, Jesus said, ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. The Lord uses these pictures, the word. Now, to be born of the Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 12:3, No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 5:1, "Who are my brethren? Everyone that confesseth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." You see, the Word of God without the Spirit leads to rationalism. To talk about the Spirit of God without the Word of God leads to fanaticism. I wonder if I should repeat that statement. The study of the Word of God without the Holy Spirit leads to rationalism. That's why you have these liberals, these modernists, these who throw out the Word of God as being authoritative, or it's not the Word of God, it's a work of man. They're rationalizing, they're trying to rationalize spiritual truth and can't do it. Because the Word of God, without the Spirit of God, who was the author of Scripture, leads to rationalism. Likewise, the study of the Spirit of God apart from the Word of God leads to fanaticism. Now, God has given us two things, the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Now, he goes on in the passage to tell us how to receive the new birth. How to receive the new birth. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This is how to be saved, how to be born again. It is the Spirit of God using the Word of God through the man of God. Now you have this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, where Paul says, "Our word, our gospel, came unto you not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, with much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." The Spirit of God using the Word of God through the man of God. And when your heart is open to Jesus Christ through his Word, for when a man gives you the gospel, he's giving to you the Word of God. You must do something about it. The Spirit of God convicts you of sin. The Spirit of God convicts you of your need of a Savior. And you turn and you accept Christ as Savior. You believe on him. It's the Spirit of God using the Word of God in your heart. This is to be born of water and to be born of the Spirit. And my friend, as I'm talking to you, I could ask you the question, are you born from above? Are you a child of God? Can you say, really, I'm a child of the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. I've accepted him as my Savior. And when you do that, my friend, it's because the Spirit of God has quickened the Word of God to your heart and to your life. Now urge upon you to obey the Word of God. And he said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Why did he send his Son? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And may the Lord bless these few words to your heart, and may you be born from above for his name's sake.